Green Sense is brought to you by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker, serving the entire energy continuum. Visit jltus.com.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Robert Colangelo. I'm a scientist, author, and environmental entrepreneur. I founded several environmental companies, and I'm also the host of Green Sense.
And I'm Bob Kessler, executive producer.
Each week, we search for people that are changing the world and making it a better place to live through their sustainable ideas and innovations.
But they have to make common and economic sense in order to make the cut on Green Sense.
And because I'm an environmental entrepreneur, we can tell who the posers are, and we look for the real thing. This week, we'll meet...
Well, we have a new regular correspondent we'll be chatting with, Chris Higgins. We have a new segment called Growing Green, so he'll give us the latest in green agriculture. That's coming up first. HP is going zero deforestation in a few years, and they definitely deal in paper. Singularity University, we'll meet someone from there. It's a way to teach companies on how to use the most cutting-edge technology to solve the big problems of the world.
Can you believe that that's all coming up on this week's edition of Green Sense? According to the Ag Funders 2014 Year in Review report, agriculture represents 8.5% of the global gross domestic product. With the global population growing and more people concerned about how our food is grown and distributed, we're starting a new feature on sustainable agriculture, and we're calling it our Growing Green segment. And to join us is Chris Higgins, General Manager of Hort Americas, an expert in the field. Chris, welcome to Green Sense.
Thank you for having me.
And you're one of the busiest guys in the business of sustainable agriculture. You're everywhere and you seem to know everyone. So tell us about some of the things you're involved with that make you ubiquitous to the industry.
Yeah, Hort Americas, we're a wholesale supply company, and that gives us a unique position to look at a lot of different companies, to hear from a lot of different farmers in the field, as well as suppliers and the projects they're working on. So we currently work from, we've done projects from Barrow, Alaska to South Africa and from Japan over into Europe. So that has given us a very broad and interesting view. We currently focus on a lot of the new ag tech grown in vertical farms, grown on new farms with new irrigation systems. So, you know, this global perspective has given us a very broad view to what it is happening in the world of agriculture today.
So let's get into our first topic. We'll get into agri-hoods, neighborhoods that are built around farming, and they've recently started to gain more attention. What defines an agri-hood, and how much growing needs to happen for it to qualify?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Today, I would guess that there's no true set definitions of an agri-hood. That I think the most general broad way to describe an agri-hood is a community or neighborhood that's being built around a small farm. Now, what qualifies a small farm? I'm not sure that there's any specifics to what qualifies a small farm. But really, it's the idea that, you know, there are a lot of people that live around golf courses. But there are also a lot of people that don't really care to live around golf courses, and that a small farm may be an attraction that they want to live around.
Why do you think people are so interested these days in knowing where their food comes from?
Personally, I think it's because people eat all the time. You know, most fortunate people have the opportunity, especially here in the United States, to eat three good meals a day. Of course, there are those that don't, but getting closer to our food is very important to a healthy lifestyle. And if you look at the population in the U.S. today, I think we're trending in that direction. We're trending towards wanting a healthy lifestyle, wanting to make sure our children and our communities are healthier than what we've been in the past. And I believe that the majority of the public ties that with clean, fresh produce, which equals healthy food and a healthy diet.
So when it comes to agri-hoods, what are some of the more interesting and innovative designs you've run across?
Well, some of the ones that I've seen, well, there's one down here in Texas that is very interesting that incorporates both field and greenhouse technology. To me, the greenhouse, you know, to me, it's really dependent upon where the neighborhood is located, what part of the country it's located in. Of course, the further south the neighborhood might be located in gives them the opportunity for year-round or close to year-round farming. The further north you go. You may need a greenhouse or some other innovative structure that would allow you to produce product year-round.
Are agri-hoods something that are just for the wealthy, or are they designed for all economic levels?
From what I've seen here in Texas, it's really aimed more at the middle class. I'm not so sure that I've seen one where it is specifically aimed at the wealthy. You know, there's a lot of different types of agri-hoods, right? The ones we've seen here in Texas are where we have a lot of ground and a lot of place to build neighborhoods with fairly large lots at this point in time, have been really geared towards the middle class. I was on a conference call yesterday with an apartment condo developer out of Los Angeles who was looking to put this agricultural space on their rooftop. That, you know, to me, that what he described to me was probably more aimed at the upper middle class to the wealthy. But it was a much smaller space than what we see here in Texas that was aimed at the middle class.
Chris, are agri-hoods a fad, or are they going to be a trend for the future?
Wow, that is a great question. I wish I had a crystal ball to be able to predict that. My guess is they're going to be around for a long time. I think right now we need to learn how we're going to manage them. An agri-hood needs a farmer. And that's, to me, what's most exciting about this movement is that this, to me, is an opportunity for small farmers to reinvent themselves and for young people who are now more than ever interested in being in agriculture. It's an opportunity to be able to get into farming. So any of these opportunities that create new, innovative potential jobs for young or old small farmers, to me, is really exciting. And I hope that these trends keep and allow small farmers and new farmers opportunities.
Agri-hoods, making farming sexy again. Chris, thanks for joining us on your maiden piece on Green Sense.
Thank you very much.
That's Chris Higgins, General Manager of Hort Americas, joining us for Growing Green. I'm Robert Colangelo on Green Sense.
Green Sense is sponsored by JLT Specialty USA. Experienced professionals ensuring energy, technology, and aerospace, serving complex risks with creative solutions. Visit JLTUS.com.
The year 2020 could be a big one for HP, maker of printers, PCs, mobile devices, and other technologies. It recently made the pledge to achieve zero deforestation by that year. To explain more is Judy Glazer, Global Head of Product Sustainability with HP. Judy, glad you could join us on Green Sense.
Hi.
Well, give us an idea of how much wood HP uses and what it's used for.
Hi, HP ships about 325,000 tons of paper for our printers and paper used in the form of paper-based packaging used for our products.
Could you give us an idea what that looks like? It sounds like a large amount. Is it a football field? How many containers? Any way to put that in context?
That is a lot of paper. Although it's a small portion of what our customers actually use in using our printers, it represents more than 3 million trees that will be sustainably harvested under this pledge.
Wow, that's significant. So what does it mean to reach zero deforestation?
Zero deforestation means that all of our paper will either be sustainably harvested where we'd use virgin fiber from certified sources, or it will be recycled sources, paper fiber that's already been had a first use.
And what has to change right now for you to reach that lofty goal?
So this has been something we've been working on for years. It's more than 8 years in the making since we established an environmentally preferable paper policy. And over that time, we've reached a goal that 50% of the paper products we ship are already Forest Stewardship Council certified, which is a strong certification for sustainably harvested fiber. So what we need to do in the next 5 years is convert the remainder of our paper to certified or recycled sources.
Who was the champion behind this decision to make this audacious pledge?
So this is, as I mentioned, been a company goal for many years to move toward environmentally preferable paper, and it reflects the breadth of action the HP is taking to address the effects of climate change throughout our operations, our supply chain, and our products. So this is something that our executive staff is aligned with and reflects a long-time commitment.
And your commitment to deforestation is because trees sequester carbon, and the more trees we have, hopefully, the more carbon we can sequester. So can you give us an idea of how many trees that your company will save this year?
So one way to look at it is that we are going to move all of the fiber we use to be sustainably harvested. The effect of that is that every piece of paper you buy from HP or every paper-based package that you one of our products comes in will be one that was harvested from a forest that helps is sustainably managed. So we maintain biodiversity, the productivity of the forest, its ability to regenerate itself, and to deliver all of its ecological, economics, and social functions, including helping to sequester carbon.
Where do you stand compared to your competitors out there? If you benchmarked your efforts as it goes to this deforestation program, where do you rank?
So HP is one of a handful of companies that are leading the way on zero deforestation policy adoption. In fact, according to one of the leading non-governmental organizations focused on this topic, Forest 500, their survey of 250 companies indicated that only 8% of those companies had some type of overarching zero or zero net deforestation commitment in place. So this is something relatively rare today and something we hope other companies will join us in committing to.
As a corporation, your fiduciary relationship is to shareholders. How do shareholders feel about this?
So we are seeing increasing interest from our shareholders in sustainability as a whole. We see that reflected in the questions that they ask us. We see it reflected in more investment in socially responsible funds in general, and by their attention to socially responsible indices like the Dow Jones Sustainability Stock Index and data like the Carbon Disclosure Project that's used as a reference for investors in understanding how companies are doing in addressing greenhouse gas emissions, forestry, and water.
I'm Robert Colangelo, and you're listening to Green Sense. Judy Glazer, Global Head of Product Sustainability, joins us on the show, and we're talking about HP's goal to reach zero deforestation. Our mantra on the show is that for it to make green sense, it's got to make economic sense. What are the economic advantages to reaching zero deforestation for HP?
So we completely agree with you that for something to be sustainable, it has to be sustainable from an economic sense. For us, this is about helping our customers to achieve their goals in terms of responsible printing and purchasing. And it's about our commitment to our investors to run a sustainable business that will be resilient to climate change and ways in which that might influence the business environment we operate in.
And as you've just alluded to, one of the best ways to become more sustainable is to reduce the amount of use of paper in product packaging and recycling. But that could also be counter to your sales goals. How do you balance those?
So we believe we'll best satisfy our customers through assisting them to print responsibly and purchase responsibly. So we help our customers to use paper efficiently in service of their goals. And on the packaging side, we have a series of sustainable design principles that we apply, which include reducing the amount and weight of material we use to package our products and replacing hard-to-recycle materials with easier-to-recycle materials. And through that work, we deliver often cost savings for ourselves as well as environmental benefit for HP and our customers.
Well, sustainability is infectious, and we see you've caught the bug because you're committing to reaching 100% renewable energy goal. How are you going about that, and when would we expect you to reach it?
So we've committed to reach 40% renewable energy by 2020. And again, this bolsters a long time commitment we have to climate change. We've got three strategies. The first one is we're aggressively reducing our energy use, which makes it much easier to get to 100% renewable. The second one is to increase our use of on-site renewables. And the third one is to acquire or generate off-site renewables, and including the use of RECs or power purchase agreements, mechanisms to help facilitate the growth of renewable energy off-site from our facilities that we could then buy through utilities.
Judy, we really appreciate you being on the show, and it's nice to see how big publicly traded companies are really committed to sustainability, and they can make a very big difference when they influence everyone within their product chain. So thanks for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thanks very much for having me. It was really a pleasure.
That's Judy Glazer, Global Head of Product Sustainability with HP, telling us about its commitment to reach 0% deforestation by 2020. This is Robert Colangelo on GreenSense.
Jewel Events Catering is the premier caterer in Chicago, offering creative, local, eco-friendly cuisine, and it's GreenSense Farm's preferred caterer. Visit georgejewel.com or call 312-829-3663. By the way, Jewel is spelled with two L's.
Singularity University is a benefit corporation that helps people, businesses, institutions, investors, NGOs, and governments understand cutting-edge technologies and how to use them to positively impact billions of people. Pretty tall order. Nicholas Hahn is Director of Global Grand Challenges and Team Project Leader at Singularity University. He joins us now to tell us more about the exciting stuff the university is doing. Nicholas, welcome to GreenSense.
Thank you.
Singularity University was founded by Ray Kurzweil, a visionary, futurist, inventor, computer scientist. Tell us more about his philosophy and vision.
Sure. Well, Ray Kurzweil is a fascinating individual. He's been a inventor and technologist ever since he was a young child, and our whole premise of our university at Singularity University is based on his understanding of what we call exponential technology, and that's the rate at which technology changes year in, year out, is basically doubling, something like similar akin to Moore's Law, but applying that across multiple technologies and over longer periods of time.
And how did he come up with the idea of Singularity University?
Well, funny enough, he wasn't the one who came up with the idea. He had written a book called The Singularity is Near, which is all about a future point in time when computing power gets so powerful that it overtakes human capacity and becomes more powerful than human ability to absorb information and process that. And beyond that point, really, we do not know what lies beyond. And therefore, he labeled that the singularity. However, he's not the one who came up with the idea of the university. It was rather our other co-founder, Peter Diamandis, who had read The Singularity is Near, and then got a hold of Ray Kurzweil and said, hey, this is so profound, and humanity's not having these discussions. We need to set up a university to create a space for people to come together, think about how technology is changing our future, and more importantly, from Peter's perspective, how to leverage that technology to solve the world's biggest challenges. And that came from Peter Diamandis, who is the other co-founder of the university.
Nicholas, what a fascinating job and a group of people to be surrounded about around you. How did you get involved with this, and how did you become Director of Global Grand Challenges and Team Project Leader?
Yeah, what a grand name indeed, huh?
Yes.
Well, I was working with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization back in 2011, and I had been working for the UN for many years at that point, and traveling around the world doing disaster analysis and food security analysis. And really, I was getting at the pinnacle of my career at that time. And I was surfing the internet. and learning about all things big and small, and came across the singularity as a concept. And then click, there's a university that called Singularity University. Click again. Hey, that university is back at my home area in California, because I had been living overseas for 25 years. Click again. Hey, there's a 10-week program. Click again. Let me apply. So I applied to be a student in our flagship program called the Global Solutions Program, and I got rejected. And they said, no, we won't have you as a student, but can you come as an advisor? So I came as an advisor, and when I finished the program, they said, you know, we as an institution want to double down on our emphasis on solving the global grand challenges, and we'd like you to be the director of that whole new department. And thus they created a new position and asked me to be the director of Global Grand Challenges.
Wow, that's fascinating. And again, what a lucky man. So tell us a little bit about how Singularity differs from traditional universities.
Well, first of all, it's not at all a traditional university in the sense that it's not accredited. We do not offer degrees. We do short courses, and we're different in that manner. We're also different in that our curriculum develops over time. From 1 month to the next, we're talking about different things, because as technology develops, as new business models develop, what we talk about changes dramatically. And the other way that we differ is that oftentimes traditional universities have silos. You have your physics department, your chemistry department, your et cetera department. Here we very much embrace convergent thinking. So we grab from nanotechnology, from robotics, artificial intelligence, and look at the intersection of where those are going in the future and apply those with new business models, new innovation approaches to the global grand challenges: food, education, water, shelter, et cetera.
That's fascinating, and I want to get into more. I just want to give a call out there. So those that are just joining us here on Green Sense, my guest is Nicholas Hahn, a professor at Singularity University, and we're talking about their unique approach to educate and inspire people to change the world and make it more sustainable. I'm Robert Colangelo. Nick, tell us a little bit more about your economic model. Do you charge for course offerings?
So we have at Singularity University, we have a number of different programs. Our flagship program is called the Global Solutions Program, of which I'm the managing director of that program. And there we bring 80 participants from around the world together to learn about exponential technologies and apply those towards coming up with real solutions. They develop actual solutions that then we turn into startups to the global grand challenges. And that program is entirely funded by sponsors. In particular, the flagship sponsor is Google. They underwrite the majority of the participants. And then we also have sponsors from countries around the world. This last year, we had 20 different countries where we held what we call global impact challenges. And local sponsors in those countries fund those competitions, and then the winner gets to come into our program for free. So that program, all participants come in fully sponsored. But our other programs, such as the executive program, customs programs, summits, and others, participants pay a fee to attend.
Singularity University has identified 11 global grand challenges, and I think it's time that we get into those. And they're really shifting from scarcity to abundance, that concept. So let's look at those. Environment. What are the biggest hurdles and some of the solutions?
Well, with environment, the elephant in the room, if you will, is climate change. There's no doubt about that. Increased CO2 levels and fluctuations in temperatures and sea level rise, this has a huge risk for humanity, both from an economic perspective, from a migrant perspective, and many others. So that is due to putting CO2 into the atmosphere and relying on fossil fuels for our needs, for our energy needs. So there's a obvious technology solution, and that is to increasingly rely on renewables, particularly photovoltaics and others, to get our energy supplies. The price point of photovoltaics is following a downward exponential curve due to consecutive breakthroughs in technology to make photovoltaics more efficient. And that doesn't stop. that, in fact, for example, there's another material which is just being used right now called perovskite, which is not only more efficient than typical photovoltaic cells, but it has a unique property in that it's transparent, it's clear, meaning your skyscraper windows could be all energy producers. Your car windscreen could be an energy producer. So that's just an example in the environmental space of we have a huge problem, climate change. We need to stop emitting CO2. We have technology solutions to help us. We need to convert to those rapidly.
And what is the grand challenge?
The grand challenge for environment is to create a world where we use our natural resources sustainably and in an equitable manner for all of humanity.
Well, Nicholas, that helps clarify things and really appreciate you being on the show. We'll have to have you back because I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. My mind's reeling with lots more questions to ask you. So if you do have the time, we'd love to have you back on and we can get into some of the more meaty issues.
I would love to as well. Thank you so much.
That's Nicholas Hahn, Faculty Chair of Global Grand Challenges and Managing Director, Global Solutions Program with Singularity University. Joining us here on Green Sense, I'm Robert Colangelo. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Green Sense. We'll be back next week with...
We'll get some green automotive news from our friend Tom Appel, someone who's teaching high school and even elementary school kids how to be innovative, and we will meet an 80-year-old nun who's dedicated her life to sustainability.
You can visit our website at greensenseshow.com to download a podcast or view the list of radio stations that air our show. If you have suggestions, send me an email to robert@greensenseshow. We're always happy to hear your comments. And we hope our guests have inspired you to action. So now it's time for you to do your part. No matter how big or small, any action can make a big difference when it's pointed in the right direction. So stay fresh, keep innovating, because when you're green, you grow.
Green Sense is sponsored by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker, providing a creative and collaborative culture, measuring success by the results delivered. Visit jltus.com.